Module 5. Cause for concern. Five A. Reading. Exercise 2, page 78.
Environmental Crime Investigator. I am in an alley in the London borough of Enfield, walking through a stinking pile of fizzy drinks cans, chicken bones and oozing, unidentifiable things in knotted carrier bags. The stench is so thick I can almost taste it. Patricia Henry is pointing her camera at a collapsed shed balancing like a sculpture on a heap of unwanted furniture. Henry, 46, is an environmental crime officer with the local council, and her photographic eye is an unusual one. Her albums feature meticulous portraits of bin liners split and leaking, graffitied obscenities on walls, and rotting furniture. This is a job that requires a strong stomach. It also calls for careful observation skills. Recently, Henry's detective work brought about the successful prosecution of a shop which had been dumping packaging in bins reserved for residents.
Someone reported a car registration number which we traced, then found till receipts, which led back to the shop. In about 40% of cases, there's some kind of evidence such as receipts, labels, or addressed envelopes,
she says. Once she has identified a suspect, Henry questions them under caution. When the evidence is sound enough, it can lead to a prosecution and reclaim the considerable cost of cleaning up after the offender. It was shopping trolleys that propelled Henry into her current career 6 years ago.
Dozens of them, abandoned all over the place,
she says.
It was my bugbear. I was always complaining to the supermarkets. I've always been passionate about the problem of litter.
And that passion has not faded.
I am so thankful that I got this job,
she says.
Every complaint is important to the person who makes it, so you have to give it your all, because it might have repercussions for them.
Today, a resident has alerted her to a garden shed that has been disposed of in a back alley. Someone else has spotted a neighbour not cleaning up her dog's waste on the grass, and there's been a messy incident behind some garages. First on her list is the dumped shed. The informant has provided her with a house number, but the tenant denies all knowledge. During some apparently innocent social chit-chat, Henry elicits possibly incriminating details that indicate the shed might indeed belong to him. She outlines the rules for waste disposal and tells him the case is closed. A couple of miles away is the house of the alleged dog offender. As she approaches the house, Henry notices a mountain of bin bags on the pavement outside. A nervous young woman who admits to owning a dog says she'd got the dates of the rubbish collection mixed up. She obediently hauls 6 of the sacks back onto her drive, but disowns another 2 that have burst open, leaving dirty nappies and rotting food onto the pavement. Nobody she knows has a baby, she says. Henry puts on her gloves, peels off the black plastic, and starts rummaging through, not paying attention to the stench. The second sack yields a clue. 2 letters bearing the address of a neighbour up the road who happens to be mowing his front lawn. Henry gestures to the sacks and waves the man over. The man explains that he'd left the sacks in the road outside his house 2 days prematurely to reserve a space for his car. and they had inexplicably vanished. Patiently, Henry explains that sacks in the road are an illegal obstruction of the highway. As she drives off, Bin Bag Man approaches Dog Dirt Lady and declares he has no knowledge of how his rubbish came to be scattered outside her driveway. We leave them, arms waving about in the middle of the road.
"It's nice,"
says Henry ironically,
"to be able to help neighbours get to know each other."